Hello and welcome to the Creative Chronicles. My name is Bright Emeka and I'm your host for today. This is the podcast that tells the stories of creative professionals, giving you the information and motivation you need to get started, stay focused, and thrive as a creative professional. Joining us today on this episode is Mr. Hayatu Abubakar. He's an amazing developer. He is the Chief Doing Officer and Chief Operating Officer of PowerShop NG. He's an amazing person. He is really, really nice. I have known him for a while now from our Be Code community. He is an amazing person. He does photography, does blogging, does writing. He is really, really talented. Thank you so much, Mr. Hayati, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's really, really a pleasure and an honor to have you join us. I really don't take this for granted. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's get started.
All right.
Let's talk about your growing up. Was this career path always clear to you, or it happened accidentally, or just walk us through your intro story? How you got into tech?
Actually, it's something that I liked. I mean, when I was a little boy, my dream as of back then was to go to space, to actually go to the moon. But then along the way, I got a love of computers. Then started to think towards, okay, what can I do with this laptop that I have at home? What can I do with this desktop? I want to make applications the way I see those on the computer and everything. So, and that was it. I went on to study software engineering for my degree and then management information systems for my master's. So, and then from there, I just picked up, started learning some of the new programming languages that are around, and then picked up some of the upcoming frameworks as well. And then,
we are here.
You were here today.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of fluffy stuff out there. Like you see an advert and it says, become a software developer in 24 hours.
Or
register for this conference, and after this event, you're going to be a developer. What should be a good place to start for beginner developers? What would you recommend?
Okay, for beginners, I think the best place to start is you first of all need to know how. For a developer, you need to know how the web works. So if you know how it works, and then you start, usually pages are made of HTML. So you need to know the first when it comes to HTML, CSS, and then add a little flair to it, JavaScript. So you start from learning all these things, and then you go towards knowing how a server works. So if you want, I know people criticize PHP so much, but it's usually the best place to start because there's a lot, there's tons of information to get started with, and it's fairly easy. Or there's the next best thing, Node.js.
Okay.
So JavaScript is the next best thing that you can think of. So there are tons of things to start. I mean, Node.js, there's the React family as well. And then from there on, then you can start to find where you're good at and what you want to use in your own way, or what you want to learn, because there's so many things out there. Out there. I mean, if I can remember very well, these days people are talking about Rust, Scala, Elixir, so many things. They're just too much, but they have their own advantages.
Okay.
But if you look at it from your own point of view, okay, I just want to build something that works for me, and it's not for like a billion users. I mean, like WhatsApp, it was built on Erlang, but you really need the kind of software that was built for something like WhatsApp. I mean, if you have that much people, fine, there's no issue, you can go for that. But then if you have something that is small, that doesn't need so much of a concurrency and whatnot, you can get so many small things that can do that for you. Node.js can do it, React can do it, and then PHP as well. So for a good start, I think you should know HTML, CSS, JavaScript. Then you pick up from there. You know where you want to go. Is it JavaScript, or you want to learn a framework or another language that has its own different framework?
So would you say, okay, go and take online courses or find a company that does this and intern with them? But what would be
Okay, I think I find this actually insightful and it worked for me. Self-taught. But it needs a lot of commitment.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to be self-taught, you have to be on it 24/7. You have to be eating and reading HTML to know what you're doing there, and you have to keep on building on that. So, for example, there are some things that they call, I think I saw some people doing that on Twitter,
okay.
100 days of code.
Yeah.
I think that works. Yeah, that works really well. You just pick up one thing and then try and use it. If you use it, then try and build another thing with it to see if it works. Then learn a new one, try and build again. And in the end, let's say for a period of, a month, if you learn so many things, then try to put them together as one project.
Okay.
And try and see if it works. So from there, you can keep on building up. While you have your own GitHub or GitLab or any other Git repository that you keep all your records in. Okay. So I think that's
awesome. That's a wonderful place to start.
Yeah.
You can go this route and then with the 100 days of code or whatever means you want to go, it's a good place for being self-taught.
Yes.
Amazing. And you mentioned something in passing. There are a lot of trends, there are a lot of new frameworks popping up here and there, different tech stack.
Yes, so many.
How do you stay balanced? How do you separate, okay, this is not for me, this is where I should be focusing on? How do you draw that line?
Okay, I think for me, because I worked on PHP for quite a while actually. So I noticed some things that kept on coming on the other languages that PHP actually doesn't handle very well.
Okay.
So I think that's the first thing that you need to understand. What do you need? If let's say you have an application and it's growing exponentially, I mean you have like 100 users first month, the next month you have like 1,000 users. If you have your current application failing because it cannot handle that much stress on it, then the next thing that you should be looking at is, okay, there are so many things out there. What can I take that can handle this? Okay, let's see. Elixir, it's very good at multi-threaded programming. But, okay, let's see. Learning curve mode might be a little bit steep. Is this something that I want to go into? Then you look for another one again. Maybe Scala. Is it working the way that I want it to be? Fine. Or you go with Node.js or anything in JavaScript. I mean, there are so many languages, many frameworks in JavaScript that I can't really see a single one that will actually work for someone. But yeah, I think that's the first thing you need to look into. With all the noise that is happening in the field, it's not everything that you can pick up. It's just, okay, this is the issue I have. Can this solve it for me? If it can solve it for me, then fine. Let me go with it. And then the rest is maybe, okay, you just want to hone your skills in some other type of language. But I think it's best for you to know one route and be very good at it than to know so many things and what to do with it.
So it's a matter of what will be useful for you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, so you focus on that and say, okay, now let's do this.
Yes.
Awesome. You work with team members and other maybe like part-time freelancers and stuff.
Yeah.
What is some things that help you keep an open line of communication? What is some best practice you recommend for people working in teams and other people?
Best practices is, it's hard to for people to say this, but you need to admit when you're wrong. You need to admit. I mean, if you want to keep an open line of communication, is you need to listen to your other team members and know their own side of view for the whole project. If not, you might end up going into a situation whereby you're the only one running the project and then that's it. It's a failure. So I think it's best that you make it an open table, you listen to everybody, you make everybody work. As in, when I mean work, I mean you don't just shoot down anybody's ideas when they come in. So, first things first, once in a week, it's good to have, let's say, a one-on-one meeting. Even if it means having like a video chat or maybe a Skype call.
Yeah.
I realize sometimes having the chat messages, I mean Slack,
yeah,
WhatsApp group, and Telegram, sometimes yeah, it can just be too much. You don't know how people feel about some stuff.
Yeah,
so I think one-on-one contact, if the physical meeting might not be possible, because there are cases whereby we have teammates in the UK, teammates all over the country. You can't actually bring them together in one space. Yeah. So maybe a Skype meeting,
mm-hmm,
or maybe just a video chat to have a feel of what is going on. Yeah, I think that's the best thing.
How do you handle unresponsive team members, or maybe you have an external project and a client just goes silent and becomes unresponsive? Have you had such experiences, and how did you handle
it? Yeah, I mean, For situations where the team member is becoming unresponsive, I will actually, in my own case, I like to reach to him personally and find out what is really wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. I tend to get more answers from that, because there was a time I did a mentorship. We did one mentorship, if I can remember, and my mentee became so silent. I don't know what was happening. So I called her and actually had a heart-to-heart talk with her, like, what is happening? And she kept on saying, okay, her job is becoming a little bit more demanding, and she's not looking towards doing something in tech, like coding. She wants to do more of design and art.
Okay.
So if it were up to just the normal Slack channels, you'd be like, you've not done this, how far, what's wrong? So I think it helped for me to understand what she wanted. Yeah, because on the chat she was not saying, so she was just saying, okay, I'm sorry, my work is becoming a little bit demanding, I need to catch up. That is just the thing. But when I had a heart-to-heart talk with her, she made me understand that seriously she thought it was going to be more towards a design art.
Okay.
And that was what she wanted.
Okay.
So I think reaching out to people,
finding out
what is really wrong. Because I mean, if you're on a project with a person, you're literally going to be talking to you for at least a month.
Yeah.
So if you're going to talk to a person for at least a month, I mean, there must be some kind of schedule that he has or she has that falls into the way that you work. Yeah. So I think the best way is to get in touch personally to know what is happening.
Okay, how about an unresponsive client? Have you had that?
For an unresponsive client, they tend to be the harder ones. Okay, for an unresponsive client, if he wants, he can just shut off. He won't answer your calls. They won't even reply your text messages or chat messages. So it's really up to you finding out. So it's better if you have a client, know where he works.
Okay.
So at least if they don't respond to all those things, you can actually go to their offices physically to know what is happening. And then from there you will know what is happening.
Okay.
The way their assistants handle you, the way the rest of the people at the office handle you. You will know whether this project is something that is what is it, or is something that you just need to drop off and leave them.
Yeah, because there are times you just have to
just let go.
That's this.
Because I think I had one, and funny thing is, he was actually a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was a friend, like, okay, let's do this. Started. Oh, first year I worked, but second year, it's time to make payments. And he's gone. So that's the thing. And that was it. It reached a level that I go to his office and I don't know why, maybe he dodges me or runs away or something like that. So at that point I realized that he's not up for it. So I just left.
If you had the opportunity to write something you'd want to be remembered for, what would this be? Like, if there's something you want, this is something I want people to know before, what would that help be?
Never give up.
Hmm.
Never give up. That's just the thing. you might find out that something is not what you want, or it's not the way that you want to go to, then maybe try to change it. But you always need the zeal to do something. Like, let it not be for the money.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Let it not be for the money. Let it be for the passion of what. Okay. Do what you do it like you love it. Do it like you're just. Get. Just do it like you're doing it for the happiness.
Mm.
You can do that for the rest of your life without being paid, and you won't mind. Mm. Let it be something like that. I think that zeal is needed, because if you go for the money and it takes you a while to actually get the money that you're looking for, then
you might give up.
You might give up. But then if it's actually growing the way you want it to grow, and it's actually testing you physically and as well mentally, then fine. Why not? Why not go for that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it should be okay. This person was someone that every of his projects he brought in a little extra. He brought it.
Yes.
He gave his best. Like,
gives his best. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. That'd be amazing. Okay, let's talk about PowerShop.
Okay.
And it's really amazing. Please tell us about PowerShop.
Okay. PowerShop.ng, it's a third-party electricity vending platform. We basically sell electricity for prepaid and postpaid customers in 11 states of the Federation.
Wow.
Yeah. Currently in Abuja, let's say ADC, that's Abuja, Nasarawa, Kogi, and Niger. Yeah, we only do prepaid here,
okay.
But the postpaid is not available here. But if you go to states like Kano, Katsina, Jigawa, we handle both prepaid and postpaid. And then we add in Bauchi, Gombe, Benue, and Plateau State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, prepaid and postpaid as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, prepaid is the meter thing?
Yeah, prepaid is the one that you key in the code
for you to get. Postpaid,
postpaid is the one that usually NEPA brings you bills.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you handle postpaid?
Yeah. The only thing you need is just to put, they usually give you an account number. So instead of the place that you put your meter number, you just put your account number there. And then you select that you're paying for postpaid. And that's it. You get to pay, and then you print your receipt, because for postpaid, you really need your receipt.
Okay. So our listeners are there in these states. You could head on to PowerShop.ng for your meter units and...
prepaid and postpaid meter units.
Awesome. Is there a project that you worked on that people don't know about?
I don't think so. Because usually the things that we do, it's either PowerShop or on WeCode.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a project on WeCode that probably maybe it needs more attention.
Okay.
We call it faker.ng.
Okay.
It just provides you with fake data of Nigerian addresses, phone numbers, and names.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you go to faker.wecode.ng,
faker.wecode.ng,
yeah, you get access to it. I mean, it's the documentation is there,
okay.
And you can just use it. It's free for everybody to use, and it's open source.
Wow.
You can actually make a pull request if you want to make some changes to it.
You worked on it alone?
No, we worked for the whole WeCode members, the committee members, the organizers, were the ones that bring it up. And I think some people actually from the main group work with us to bring it up.
You've been a committee member for a long time?
I've been a committee member since 2013, right?
Okay.
Since 2013.
Mm. What's one major challenge you think tech has in Abuja here that the major challenge for devs, for entrepreneurs in this space?
I think we don't have the hype here.
Mm.
We don't have the hype here. And a lot of people come in thinking, it's all for the hype, but no. We have a lot of great developers in Abuja. We do a lot of creatives that I can think of. But it seems like in Abuja, people tend to be more towards, they do private jobs and then they keep to it.
Mm.
I saw that a lot in people doing design jobs especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tend to be a little bit protective about what they do. But when it comes to the real technology programming stuff, people are becoming a little bit more open now.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they find the usual meetups a little bit intimidating for them.
Okay.
That's the reason why every time a week old, we try to make it as easy as it can be for anybody.
Right.
Yeah, anybody can come in and work. It's not going to be like, you need this. So we want it to be, okay, this is React. This is what it does. And this is how you can start.
Mm.
Yes. That's how it goes. That's the reason why if we have a meetup, let's say in the second week of the month, the last week of the month, we have a code session of that same meetup so that people can get a heads up, can start using what we talked about. Yeah. Yes.
How did you get into the code?
Friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was a time I went to Inspire Incubator. And I found out they have a tech meetup. And I was surprised because I think that was just maybe 2 years after I left the university. And it was surprising to me because every time I heard anybody talking about tech meetups in Nigeria, it's Lagos. And I was ready to jump on the train like, okay, wow, this is good. Because back then it was even called Abuja Dev Meetup.
Okay.
Yeah, that was what it was called. So back then it was like, oh, let me come in. Let me see if I can help with anything here. And then that was it. I met a lot of great people there. We worked on so many things that it actually helped my own career. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Let's talk about demystifying the needs. There are a lot of needs and wrong notion people hold.
Mm-hmm.
About maybe I'm intending developer, there are wrong notions he has about the tech field.
Okay.
If you could demystify any means for us, like any wrong notion.
Okay. The wrong notion sometimes is whenever they say you are a programmer, everybody just sees he can build the next Facebook.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
People overestimate sometimes.
Okay.
I've met a lot of people that the moment you tell them this, that's what you do, they'll be like, I thought you're a programmer now. You can do this. You can do that. Why? Why
should you fix my laptop?
Yes, you can fix my laptop. Someone actually did that for me. Like, I beg, please help me. My laptop is not coming. I'm like, dude, I don't know anything that has to go into your laptop. Yeah. So, I think there's a little bit of overgeneralization, especially here in Abuja. Mm. They tend to think if you're a programmer, okay, you can do anything. But they don't understand that programming is gearing more towards being something of an art that you specialize on and you hone your skills on. Because right now, if let's say somebody built a system like with ASP, and then I tell you I'm a programmer, and then somebody comes in and says, you're a programmer. Okay, please come and help us fix this thing now. They don't know it's something that you don't even know anything in that stack.
Mm.
So I think, there's an overgeneralization when it comes to tech, that everybody knows everything in tech.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
And in some cases, some people, whenever they say they're a programmer, they start thinking towards the bad side of it, that you are a hacker.
The black hat
hackers. Yeah, black hat hackers. They don't even know that. The only thing they know is that, this guy is going to hack my system. So, there's that fear and then overgeneralization.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are the bits that...
Awesome. They are not safe. You have made it very clear. They are wrong notions.
Yes.
We don't know. Okay, if you could go back in time, and do this over again, as in start from scratch. What are some pitfalls you would avoid, some mistakes you would not make, and let's just talk about those.
Okay. Especially here in Nigeria.
Okay.
Most of us, if I can say, some of us, they tend to go for things that, for lack of a better word, maybe try to pay the bills for them without actually doing what they love.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of us are falling into that trap because of the way the economy is and the way Nigeria is set up. I mean, everybody is like, oh, you have to know someone before you can get something. And that actually is a little bit deterrent to everybody that wants to work.
Okay.
So I think it's good to know people.
Yeah.
Communications, connections and whatnot, they help.
Yeah.
But then don't stay there for so long. What you do is try to stay there and learn what you want to do. Do the work. Do it for a very long time and get the skills, get the experience.
Very important.
And then look for what you want. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look for what you want. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Learn the basic language skills as in then while doing that,
yeah,
still be building on your skills to do what you love.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. It's been a really, really interesting conversation.
Thank you very much.
I really, really have picked a ton of actionable content and valuable insights from today's episode. Okay, two more things before we let you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Give us ways people could get in touch with you and get in touch with Power Shop.
Okay.
The best ways to reach you. Let's do that first.
For me, my Twitter handle is the easiest way. Hayato89.
All right.
I think that's it. And then for powershop.ng, the website www.powershop.ng. And we're on Instagram as well. Powershop.ng, that's the handle. On Facebook, it's still the same, powershop.ng. And on Twitter, it's powershop.ng.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
You've heard it from the man, man. powershop.ng, Hayato at Hayato89 on Twitter. That's the place to meet him. Okay, on the closing notes, your parting words for our audience. Our audience is comprised of this list audience. Mm-hmm. We have tech enthusiasts, like designers, developers, and entrepreneurs.
I think I'll borrow a word from Steve Jobs here.
Okay.
Stay hungry, stay foolish. I think that's the best thing. You keep on giving out the good work, do the best that you can, and try and get some rest actually.
That's very important.
A lot of us tend to just write code to the end of the night, 4 or 5 a.m. And then you wake up again, start a new day. I mean, you can't be
100. You need health, man.
Yeah, you need to. So, yeah, stay healthy.
Awesome, awesome. You've heard it. It's been an amazing time today. I've had a lot of actionable insights that I'll go and start implementing. Go out there today and create awesomeness. My name is Brighty Maker. I will see you next week.